Welcome back to the Lighthouse Project podcast. I'm Christy Gordon, raised in Scientology from 2 to 20.
My name's Miriam. I was born into the Sea Org and a Scientologist for 26 years.
I'm Victoria Locke. I was brought into Scientology when I was around 10.
This podcast is presented to you by Children of Scientology, a collaborative effort to chat about all the issues affecting the youngest members of Scientology who didn't choose it for themselves.
What becomes of them, their sense of self, family bonds, mental health. Dig into how we can heal and share tools.
In this episode, we continue our chat with Serge Del Mar following the conviction of Danny Masterson. In the first part of our conversation, we discuss the lawyers who are enabling Scientology to continue their systematic human rights abuses.
Speaking of lawyers, there's Tom Mesereau and Sharon Applebaum. It was found later, leaked discovery to Scientology. Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Charlene Olmedo ruled Wednesday that the former legal team leaked criminal material related to allegations from Masterson's accusers that claimed they were being stalked and harassed, reports The Hollywood Reporter. Mesereau and Applebaum reportedly shared the materials with attorney Vicky Podbereski, who represented the church in a lawsuit filed by the women. Podbereski then used the information to file a complaint in the trial, claiming prosecutors were soliciting false testimony to use against Masterson. The church's complaint was demonstrably false, Judge Olmedo wrote in court documents. Prior to Masterson's conviction in May, it was revealed that a lawyer for the Church of Scientology had received criminal discovery material in the civil suit with information including photos and texts sharing the addresses and license plate numbers of the female accusers. Judge Olmedo said the action flies in the face of both statutory and case law authority and said she made numerous statements during contested discovery hearings repeatedly telling the defense that the criminal discovery process would not be used for discovery in civil cases. Mesereau, successful Hollywood defense lawyer, also represented Bill Cosby in his criminal proceedings and helped Michael Jackson win an acquittal in 2005. And that's exactly what Scientology wants. That's what they groom their attorneys to do. And all they have to do is find the right attorneys who'd be willing to do it, which are all the attorneys we've been talking about.
And what's also crazy is that Vicky Podbereski, what she also did was she filed reports disparaging the conduct of the officers involved. She filed those reports with the chief of police, and it was an attempt to intimidate the officers that she knew would be presenting in this trial to give evidence and to call into question their conduct in order to have an impact on their career. That's the thing. This is the challenge, guys. This goes back to the IRS. We're talking about individual agents that can be affected by the pressure that comes to bear by Scientology, the fear that can be instilled. And this is what won them their tax exemption in the first place. Of course, they're going to have a crack at it. And that's the thing, is it takes these individual agents. We have to remember that each of these law enforcement officers, they are people. They might have a family at home that they're supporting, and maybe they already have enough shit to deal with in their life. They're like, you know, what, do I really want to add this? Or is this what I came here to do, you know? And so we have to really understand what they're up against as individuals. And then this really needs to be visible, this part that Scientology has played in trying to, at every edge and every corner, trying to affect an outcome. And yes, so we saw that in the leak where, unfortunately, Scientology had their hands on all of the materials. What a violation of the victim's rights in this case.
The only thing I would say, though, Miriam, and I agree with your assessment of law enforcement not being tuned in, but the problem is the enablers are not the victims. This hotel couldn't operate behind a Clearwater police station if it's not being enabled by the Clearwater police station.
Completely.
Because are we going to sit here and believe that in 50 years of their being their literal one block away neighbor, have not seen a shred of suspicious activity? You see what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
It's like you've had decades to figure out if there's something weird going on. We haven't been on the public record already being ignored for the last 73 years since L. Ron Hubbard took it upon himself to write his BS memos. So yeah, maybe one lowly officer couldn't have stopped all of this, but maybe one could have at least started to try to stop it and tapped their senior enforcer people up to the FDLE of Florida, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, is nowhere to be found because apparently child trafficking only happens at truck stops. See, so that's the pitch ad nauseum. Oh yeah, child trafficking never happens in luxury hotels, only truck stops. And they have Marisol Nichols spouting out how she's a double agent really wanting to stop slavery in America. And she really takes it upon herself to go to a lot of seedy motels. But you know where you never find her at the Four Seasons? Where you never find her? At the Fort Harrison, which is their wannabe Four Seasons hotel. People keep asking me, why do I call it hotel? You tell me why you call it church.
Right. That's a good point.
You first tell me why you are calling that an MF church. Because if that's not blasphemy in itself, then the churches that have taken it upon themselves to be like, yeah, we really should be allies with these racketeers here. They really have our best interest. All of y'all that are like, yeah, it's great to be very close to these powerful ones that do have a lot of celebrities in their midst. So it must be that they really have the power, right? Because that's what it boiled down to, guys. It's this fake worshiping of nobodies, including but not limited to a Tom Cruise, a Nicole Kidman, Katie Holmes. They're all just a bunch of nobodies. Well, this idea that there's some special, really special about them is because we've been fed this idea that fame is something that we really should be looking for or thinking about or becoming an OT because you are appearing on TV. Why was Danny Masterson so special? Because he was appearing in TV. And that's why he was protected ad nauseum, because he did manage to get a TV show. Like, how is that relevant to who the person is if they made all these bad choices? But there's a lot of brands being protected, but for all the wrong reasons. And it's really just what it boils down to. And yes, I'm sorry that Katie Holmes got roped in. I'm sorry for her. But you know what? I'm sorry for all the kids that didn't have the luck that Suri Cruz had being taken out. So yeah. I'm very happy that Suri did get out. Bella and Connor didn't get out. Miriam Francis didn't get out. I didn't get out. Laura Anderson didn't get out. Jenna Miscavige didn't get out. Christy Gordon didn't get out. Liz Ferris didn't get out. Nora Eames didn't get out. On and on ad nauseum of how many kids didn't get out of their child trafficking situation that we were in. That we don't need a court from the superior nothing to tell us what they did to us. America figured out how to legalize child slavery, capitulating to L. Ron Hubbard. And the idiots at the IRS couldn't have been more pathetic if they tried. Because if they want to sit here and tell us, oh, we had no idea, you guys. Yeah. How many years have you been auditing these books? How many millions are going through those hotels? Mm-hmm. What are they gaining access to? Make it make sense. IRS commissioner, we would love to hear from you. Pitch us. Tell us. Tell us how you're so incapable of doing anything, incapable of calling the FBI, including but not limited to, since we were all transported from all manner of countries. Miriam's in Australia, Valeska's in Australia. We already have lawsuits on the docket. It's not that there's nothing being done to investigate our allegations, but why doesn't anybody with a shred of power ever investigate a shred of thing is what we have to ask ourselves today. Why is that happening in this year, 2023? Why is the Biden administration just sleeping at the wheel? Could not be less clueless if they tried, because it wasn't just in Donald Trump's America. It was also in Barack Obama's America. And it was also on Bill Clinton's America. It all started with little Mr. Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it's crazy, sir. I was just thinking, so when we were kids growing up in this thing, we weren't allowed to ask questions. We weren't allowed to criticize. Those things we knew for sure, absolutely. You couldn't question things. Now we come out to the outside world and it still has the same level of protection. You can't question it because it's a religion. The media won't ask those questions. They'll just stop at the Scientology statement. But okay. And that's, I think, where we're at is, yeah, we do want to pull these statements and look at them and pull them apart and say, well, what are they actually saying? Okay, let's ask questions. That's all that needs to happen. But just because you're a religion, you get exempt from any kind of inquisitive thought. Government still has a responsibility. They're still citizens of your country. So why can't you ask the questions and check that those citizens have their rights intact?
No one wants to have the type of egg on their face, exactly. The type of actual BS on their face. Because when all of this is outed by us, there's going to be nowhere to hide for anybody. And the governments are involved in state-sanctioned child trafficking of minors at scale, and it's every last government. As much as we think, yeah, Australia's helping and this and that, is no one's doing shit.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's just doing the bare minimum. Okay, I'll help you here, like this tiny little case. How many of us are out here? How many of us have been talking, saying, putting the receipts, coming on the record, and it's all just gets trivialized as if it wasn't happening to a kid right now. They always tell us, you know what, as soon as you find one person that got out recently, then it'll be easy to prosecute the cases. Then we can really win the case because, again, justice is only a matter of will I win or not. Then again, it's, they go to Donald Trump, they grab all those boxes, and that's very important. How many boxes are in our hotels? Every receipt we need, right? Because they documented when they abused us, these MFs, literally. Yeah. On this day, this happened. We discovered this information. We just shared it about five people. Everybody knows everything. Everybody's compromised. Everybody's been roped in to be part of the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It's how that hotel culture is actually working. These lawyers that do get paid to be representatives of this thing, when they can pitch to us how that makes sense, since none of us finished high school, probably. Did you finish high school, Miriam?
No. None
of us finished high school, and we couldn't be more clueless, and we couldn't be more stupid or pathetic or confused. We're very confused. We would love a statement from you today. Tell us. Tell us how stupid we are, because we can't wait to hear that. Literally. Try to run your BS pitches today through us. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. We will repudiate all the BS because we know what in the hell happened.
Yeah. And it's like that thing of they're so crossed over in there. It's all the glue that is holding them together because it's all public relations. LAPD has to worry about public relations as well. So does Clearwater Police. It all comes back to public relations. And that's what Scientology is doing.
If they weren't worried about their public relations, they'd be like, oh, let's help these kids. Let's get good public relations for us. Let's show the FBI really like coming to the rescue of these kids that are stuck in those hotels today, right? It's, oh, we raided it and look, we found they have 300 foreigners working in there. Where's the people from ICE? The immigration laws could not be more pathetic. We were all brought in from all manner of countries. We were so easily put in this slavery, state-sanctioned slavery is what it's called, right? It's not called anything else. We were state-sanctioned, sponsored slavery across state lines. So when the FBI can reconcile that fact, then we're going to start getting somewhere. Because again, it's like, y'all are the ones that are not with the program. Y'all are the ones that are not doing your work. Because again, all the headlines that they have chosen to ignore for themselves, ABC News, forced abortions. Okay, you know what? They've always had all these problems. It's almost like they've gotten so used to the shit that comes out of this organization that the more shit that comes out, it's just, they just tune it out. Literally, mm-hmm. That's all that we get today. So, oh no, too much heavy lifting there. Who cares? Those kids can just fend for themselves. Good luck if you come out, not as roadkill, like so many of our friends have already come out. Mm-hmm. And can't even speak for yourself or come out so abused. We just read on that quote that people just cannot bear having to bring up the same thing that just keeps getting ignored.
Yeah, absolutely. And all they have to do is just ask the questions. What's so difficult about that?
What can you do? Ask questions. And you know what I've been asking my supporters when they ask me? I'm like, you ask the questions.
Yes.
These people have Instagram accounts. They post every day. I check the FBI's account has posts every day. They tell you, my God, we care so much about human trafficking. Child trafficking is going to stop. Look how many heroes we have here and heroes we have there. And the FDLE page puts another hero that in Tampa is doing a lot for a lot of things. But you know what? They don't do a shred of a thing about the scourge of what happens to their downtown Clearwater as a whole collective of buildings. You know what they don't do a thing about is whatever in the hell happens on L. Ron Hubbard Way. These people even went as far as giving this disgusting indicted felon a street in Los Angeles. That's how much the LAPD is involved. That's how much the California government is involved in state sanctioned child trafficking of minors.
When they made the children pave it.
Children paved it. You were in the RPF. We heard about it when it was happening when I was in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they're all around Harvard Way. Aren't we so lucky we're getting our own street?
Yeah.
And that was yet again to your point, Miriam, PR, PR, PR. well, you know what? Y'all have been sleeping with the enemy from hell.
Yeah. And the thing is, a thing of difficulty here where you have kids that were raised in it, but they still have a parent in or both their parents in. So I'm speaking for some kids that I grew up with who they don't want to speak ill of it. They're still stuck in that. And they themselves have been out of the Sea Org for many years. They themselves are not interested in practicing Scientology, but they don't want to speak on it because a family member or family members are still involved, their friends and maybe possibly even their job and all those reasons why a person could still be connected to Scientology. But the thing is, even in conversation with them, if you just ask them to separate feelings from facts, like there are things that, oh, I don't want to, I feel this way. Okay, you feel that way. But what's a fact? Did you get an education? What was the extent of your education? What level did you achieve? Do you have your high school diploma? What age did you join the Sea Org? Oh, I was 12. Oh, I was 11. Oh, I was 13. Okay. And then how many years were you in the Sea Org for? And how much schooling did you do during that time? And what were the kind of jobs that you did? These are facts. Feelings are, I'm scared about speaking out, or I'm worried about this, or I still want to have a connection with my mom. I really love her. Those are feelings, but facts are different. And that's what needs to be focused on, I hope, for those people who still haven't separated those things out, to look at them really clearly. And then also just in regards to law enforcement, it's just a thing of ask the questions. Yeah.
I love that. Separating the feelings from the facts. They are two completely different things and they can exist at the same time. Like you guys were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what I found too recently is people are having a hard time articulating what happened. But what I am very surprised about is the amount of people that are reaching out through back channels to say, oh my God, now that you said it, it's so true. And I don't have to lie to myself about it, because a lot of people cannot even reconcile or bring themselves to say it because it's been denied and it's been trivialized. So it's hard for the brain to open up when you're going to be vulnerable, only to be ignored and almost re-traumatized and re-abused by a system that is not here to help. That's the takeaway of what we just discussed. The systems that are here purporting that they're going to help is not in their best interest. Whoever has the most money gets the help. Whoever doesn't have money and was a slave gets no help. Go back to what you're doing and stop wasting everyone's time, is what we're being told in this year 2023, that nothing has changed for a child being exposed to the scourge of this state-sanctioned child trafficking of minors at scale.
Yeah, I would say that people are ruled by their emotions. Our emotions tend to govern our behavior. And one of the most dominant emotions that can direct how we act is fear. And of course, the fear comes through everything. If we're afraid of the consequences, or we're afraid of being punished, or we're afraid of the backlash that we'll receive, the people that will disconnect from us and all that sort of thing. So back to separating feelings from fact, when you're there, Serge, and you're just serving up the facts, it's so effective because it cuts through. I think the more that we're talking about these things openly, more people will see it and they'll be like, oh, he just said the thing that I've been thinking all these years on my own. And holy shit.
Serge, very much so. And everyone that's willing to step up and start speaking these hard, uncomfortable truths is showing people that we don't have to be afraid, that we actually can do this. We can do it together and there's a community. But the other thing is the shame. That is a heavy burden for a lot of us too. And so I think that we're also demonstrating that shame never belonged to us. That was baggage that was handed to us to carry. And we did. And we have to understand now it was never ours. And we can set it down and talk about what happened without feeling like it was some shortcoming of ours, that it was a failure of ours, that we caused any of it. We couldn't. We were children.
That is so true, Christy. That's so very true.
Yeah. So it's time to stop giving kids baggage and herding them inside a hotel. Kids do not need that baggage. So it just couldn't be more simple than that. And I agree with you guys about emotions and ruling. Let's put the fear of God on y'all, because the fear of God that you need to be having, where your fear needs to be directed, is on your own self-preservation. As the facts continue to get exposed, your legal exposure is going to continue to grow.
Yes.
We are not going to be ignored forever. Trust us. A lot of good things are happening as a result of all this information being put on the public record. All we care about is actual safety guards and rails, common sense. We're not asking for special treatment. We're not asking for anything that is not already written in the child trafficking laws as we speak. We're just asking for people to show up and enforce what's already in the books. We don't need a new law. We need people that are going to start doing the job that they're being subsidized to do. The kids that are now paying taxes for this thing to happen. Every last person in Los Angeles that is being co-opted to do what in the hell's going on in those hotels, because they're footing the bill of these people owning L. Ron Hubbard Way and Celebrity Center, where a lot of celebrities have really taken it upon themselves to launder all kinds of money for all kinds of favors that did not belong in a hotel. It couldn't be more fraudulent. It couldn't be more obvious. And we couldn't be more disgusted at this point. So when y'all want to really take it upon yourselves to listen to what in the hell we're saying, that would be great, because you know what? A ton of people are. And we're not in a hurry. We don't have a timeline. We're not going anywhere. We're sick of the BS and we're sick of the ineffective platitudes thrown at the air for all these countries, starting with Australia, that made this thing legal in their country and set a legal precedent for other countries to follow suit. Because apparently in the law, all these people with zero critical thinking skills just go, well, Australia did it. You know what? I guess there's a way for us to also think it could be happening over here. And before you know it, these people brought child slavery back. They put L. Ron Hubbard on a pedestal and said, yes, L. Ron Hubbard, whatever in the hell you want to do, go for it. So when that makes sense to us, from starting with the Australian people that are doing nothing as we speak, even though the scourge of this child trafficking is still rampant. I mean, it wasn't like Jenna Miscavige wasn't sent there. It wasn't like Miriam's not there. It wasn't like Valeska's not there. So Australia is a co-conspirator of the state-sanctioned trafficking of minors. No, Australia authorities, we haven't heard a thing from you doing anything to stop this, and you couldn't be more ineffective. And apparently, y'all that have all the power, all the levels of power and guns and rules can't do anything to help a child in this year 2023. Well, you know what? You've had 73 years to do your job. What in the hell is wrong with y'all?
And then let's just look at arbitration. Okay, so we have an opportunity where these human trafficking cases, they make it to court. Okay, there's a chance, there's an opportunity there. But then they get sent to arbitration. And it's so insane because you're being sent to an organization that doesn't believe in human rights. So how can they arbitrate anything for a person? This should be illegal. It's an organization that already has denied you of your human rights, that you're trying to fight against that and speak out against that and try and take legal action against that. And then ultimately, they're going to be the ones that are going to have that power over you. And they're going to be the ones that are going to determine what gets agreed upon or what happens in your case.
And the thing is, none of us would be doing what we're doing if we had received justice in Scientology. If there was justice in Scientology,
correct,
we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't need the authorities.
Correct.
We wouldn't need lawsuits. It would be unnecessary. It would have been resolved. If justice wasn't available for us in Scientology, how are we going to get it through arbitration? It's a joke.
The enablers are not the victims. Yeah. And the enablers of all the things that happen to us going back to the courts is the courts. The same people that tell us you should go arbitrate with your child traffickers are the same people that are allowing these people to run rampant operations of horrendous, disgusting things that if you didn't know, now you do know. If you didn't take it upon yourself to read all the garbage L. Ron Hubbard wrote, now we just dumbed it down so to the basics, so to the facts, so that no one can play dumb. And if you need more going into the weeds, then by all means, we'll give you all the weeds that we need to get into, since we are experts at those weeds. We are experts at how the policies are implemented. We are experts at who's doing what, when, where, and how. Mm-hmm. It's not like we don't know what in the hell happened.
We know who the enablers are. We know who get the consequences. We're familiar with Scientology justice.
Yeah, and we're now familiarizing ourselves with how y'all also have been enabling it. Y'all need to stop, because you cannot purport to have laws that bring back child slavery in 2023. The sooner you reconcile with the facts and stop listening to the platitudes and the blatant false statements that have been put out for the last 73 years, don't worry about it. We'll do the heavy lifting and spell it out for you. We'll go audit every last shred of public statement that's been put on the record.
I think what we were really fortunate with in the Danny Masterson trial is that we had Judge Olmedo, and the cases that she predominantly sees are gang-related cases. And I think with that knowledge and experience, she was able to discern, in terms of talking about Scientology, that yes, you could draw a line. Many courts have not been able to make this discernment that, look, we're not talking about beliefs. We're talking about policies and practices that affected the Jane Does in this trial, that affected their delay in reporting, so that we can fill in the gaps, so that it can be understood. It's necessary for the jury to hear these things. So I think that the prosecution was able to make their points, and Judge Olmedo, having that background and understanding, this is the business model. This is a gang. This is organized crime. And the way that they operate, I think she had enough understanding to be able to go, okay, yeah, we can draw a line here. This is permissible. This isn't. And I think that's really fair. Of course, Scientology in their statement just objects to it. Blanket objection.
How dare you look through our religious veil at our behavior.
And I love that what you just mentioned, Miriam, because it couldn't be more true. It's when we're condemning the whole entire law practice, we're condemning it from where we're coming from. But that's not to generalize every last person that's doing a job that we understand is extremely complex. And that's why we're also here. It's not like it's not complex. It's not like it's simple. It's not like there's not a lot of money that's been put around in a lot of places to make it complex. It's been made to be complex. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The facts are not complex. So since we do have the facts and we are getting them exposed, soon enough, it'll be harder for these manipulators to throw their BS pitches and think they're going to get anywhere. Because you know what? It's not going to work. You can say squirrelous as many times as you want, but this ain't Harry Potter. We're talking about a very serious subject with very serious lives at stake as we speak, with people that do need advocates, that are in dire need of advocates, every last 21 and under. Every last 21 and under that was recruited to be doing this, that doesn't even want to be there anymore. But there's no way out for them because they're dead bondage AF. They have no shred of an advocate in there. So they're still stuck. My heart bleeds for my friends that got into this as kids, that they're still stuck there. What are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to get out? How are they supposed to know that their rights are being violated when everyone's acting like their rights couldn't be violated?
It's so difficult, Serge, because we can't even have those important conversations with those people that we care about. We can't even have the conversation. My brother, Ben, who you knew at Flag, had trained there, and he is in LA at PAC, and he's been there for many years, and he was born and raised into Scientology. He does not know anything else. He did not receive an education, and I really feel for him. And the problem is, the difficulty is that I've been disconnected from him just because I put two posts up on Facebook in 2016 and somebody reported me. That was my crime. That was my crime. And just to put that into perspective, my father, who sexually assaulted me on a number of occasions when I was a child, he was never sent to the RBF. He was never declared a suppressive person. I put two posts up on Facebook and I was disconnected from my brother, and I were very close. We're very close in age. We're less than a year apart. We always kept in touch. Even the years he was away at Flag, we would have 2 hours long conversation. And this is someone who I can no longer have any connection with. There's conversations I would love to have with him just in a very gentle way. And even just to be talking, not even to be calling out anything, but just to even just have that connection. And then maybe gently we can come around to some other conversations. But that's my point as well. Our hands are tied. their hands are tied because they have a lack of advocacy, education. They don't know any better. They're trapped in there. And there's nothing that we can do. And that's a lot of the frustration and why we're crying out, talking about things, because we hope that we can maybe make some changes, that we can loosen up those restrictions that are in place. If they could just allow us to talk to people. And I have attempted. I've been attempting over the years to talk to my brother, Ben. I very recently called to speak to him. And I was told that I was on a list. They explained it to me that there's a database that they have, and there's a color code on my name that says I cannot talk to my brother and that I can only speak to the international justice chief. That means that you've been declared a suppressive person, but they won't hand me the sheet of paper. They won't tell me that I've been declared a suppressive person, yet they have color coded my name in their fucking database. And that prevents me, because reception at each of these organizations, they have access to this database. They simply will look up my name. So under my own name, I cannot speak to my brother, because I put two posts up on Facebook. Understandably, I did the aftermath following on from that. But yes, it's just outrageous.
You never did anything wrong, Miriam. You've always been a threat because of the receipts you have and your intelligence. And you're always a threat to them of your intelligence. You're a threat if you're not manipulatable. So even those posts that you put there, it's just how they crisis manage, how they have to keep everything so tight inside, so that there is no critical thinking skills being shared between people, because that's really the virus that they're always trying to stamp out, right? As soon as somebody has a shred of an independent thought, they get squashed. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more that we're here advocating on their behalf, including Ben. And that's why I thought it was very important to bring up those that have fallen already, and that we cannot speak to them personally, because they're being kept under these conditions that we're saying it's unacceptable and only we would know. And soon enough, these people won't be able to be kept in those conditions. It's either we have a country that believes in slavery, like Australia and America, that are both countries that were funded with slaves. Are y'all saying that you still believe in slavery in this year 2023? Yes or no? We're either saying slavery is okay or it isn't. And don't give us the pitch that, oh, this was a religious whatever. It wasn't. It isn't. And if y'all still want to buy that pitch, then go take it upon yourselves to get to OT8 and then tell us if it was or it wasn't. That's what you need to do in order to catch up to where we are. We were made to live that dysfunction for how many decades of our lives, with every single one of our family members compromised. And they need our advocacy. They need someone to say, no, my brother is not okay. Mm-hmm. He's unacceptable. He's a full-grown man. He can make his own phone calls. What kind of illegal right. type of conservatorship is this, right? Yes. Because this is done to Britney Spears. And Britney Spears literally couldn't make a phone call unless her daddy said it was okay. We were put under these fake conservatorships under these people who didn't give a shred of an F about us. And never mind that we were fully capable of making our own decisions. We were just being kept as slaves, as help, as the maids of these mm-hmm. people, running around wearing ridiculous military uniforms. It's an insult. It's disgusting and it's abominable. And these countries that are funded on slavery are still at it today. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the government's hands are not full of dirt. All the immigration offices where kids are being transported have acted more recklessly negligent themselves. Kids are being transported out of the UK, out of France, out of Mexico, out of Australia, out of South Africa, out of Russia, out of Siberia, out of Poland. The countries go on. And when we thought there, we're like, oh, aren't we so cool, so international? This couldn't be a criminal conspiracy because everyone is doing it. So I'm sure that all these people that are being paid the big bucks to make sure everything's okay could not have gotten this far if it wasn't. Bad breaking news.
Everything that you listed off there, that's real documentation that you cannot fake. Yeah, you really can't, because it has to be authenticated. So you've got your place of birth. You've got your passport. You've got, when did you become a legal immigrant in America? So for me, I arrived in 1990. I didn't get my green card until, I believe, 1998. I can easily check that because I have those documents. So 8 years, I was an illegal alien and I knew it. I thought it was funny. I was like, illegal alien. It just was like a funny. Yeah, totally. Like I had, of course, I didn't know about Xenu, but I had this image of this skinny green guy with a big head that was doing illegal things. I just thought it was hilarious. And I knew that. I was very well aware of it. Even when I started working for the Sea Org, so I started working in the Sea Org when I was 13, I wasn't being paid.
So you didn't even get paid.
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those kids. That's just so sick.
In the cadet org as well, you're supposed to get paid $15 a week because you're doing labor. You're holding positions and all that. And I didn't get paid
because
through
you're
that
being
whole
child
time.
Trafficked. You're supposed to get paid $15 a week.
Yeah. And so that's how I knew I was an illegal alien, because everybody else was getting paid that I knew. And I wasn't. Oh, no, you're an illegal alien. You don't get paid. Okay. You need a social security number. That's what I was told. So I understood those things, but there was nothing I could do. I just had to wait while that was being done.
Back to the point where you were enslaved as a full-blown child in America being brought in. It's all just legal malpractice after legal malpractice. The laws exist. There just doesn't exist anybody that wants to enforce them.
Yes.
That's all. But sunlight is the best disinfectant. Mm-hmm. Corruption dies when it's exposed because it cannot breathe anymore. When people's critical thinking skills are awakened, then they really go, what in the literal hell? Because again, nobody wants to hurt children. Mm-hmm. Humanity doesn't. The planet Earth doesn't. Nobody likes it. Sure. Nobody's okay with it. Nobody thinks that we should be very respectful about that. Everybody mm-hmm. can agree that we can all advocate for the kids. So the more we advocate for those, and those that their growth has been stunted, as far as I'm concerned, Ben, your brother today, is just been kept in this infantile state because he hasn't been allowed to leave the stupid hotels where he's working and he doesn't know anything else. It's almost like throwing someone in the Amazon and then they're completely ripped off from anything else. Do they really grow in those years? Do they really develop? Like, the human species needs connection, and they're being influenced by those connections. And if these connections are all being influenced by racketeering schemes, then Houston, we got a big ass MF problem.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Right. I want to co-opt this D.A. Reinhold Mueller's thing. I want to say that we were harmed, and then we were punished for it. And then we were retaliated against. And we're told that there was no justice for us. I mean, we're all literally in this situation. And the people that we're trying to reach have the opportunity to show us there is justice, that this exists, and that there should be consequences for our abuser, our predator, which happens to be Scientology. And that everyone listening has the opportunity to show them that there are consequences for these actions. We arrived here to be heard. We have sacrificed dignity, privacy, and peace for this prospect. We are sitting here telling our private matters to the world. Who knew that would ever happen? But what we're hoping is that people will hear our voices and that our voices will be enough for justice. So I think we can absolutely appreciate the brilliance of that summary and share that with the Janes in this situation, because it's true for us too. It's true for all these people that you're talking about that don't have a voice, that we're trying to be a voice for, to reach anyone who cares that can help us create a consequence for this predator.
This is our love letter to our parents. We don't want them to hurt anyone. Nobody wants to do that. We are actually bringing consciousness to your actions. And the sooner you stop hurting yourself and others, the sooner it is for you and everyone else. So as much as we are exposing it, the facts are what they are, and we don't control what the facts are. We only control how we move forward as a society to protect those that cannot protect themselves, because that's where the main focus of all of our collective efforts lie. There are kids going through our same experience in there. It is unacceptable. It is the year 2023.
Absolutely. This is from Liz Gale's book. It's the very end. I don't know if either of you've gotten to it yet, but it's called The Allegory of the Cave by Plato, 380 BC. Once upon a time in a dark cave, there lived a group of people who had never seen the outside world. They faced a wall with their legs and necks chained up. Behind them, a fire cast eerie shadows on the wall, and the people believed those shadows were real. One day, a curious soul summoned the courage to break free from their restraints and venture outside the cave. The blinding sunlight overwhelmed them at first, but they soon discovered a breathtaking world filled with vibrant colors and wonders. And overjoyed, they returned to share this newfound truth with their fellow cave dwellers. But the others were too afraid to believe. They clung to the familiar shadows, comfortable in their ignorance. And with a heavy heart, the curious soul made the tough choice. They left the cave again, hoping that someday their friends would find their own way out. They wished for them to discover the truth and feel the happiness that they had felt. And I just think, holy crap. Now, that's not to say that there's not justice due, that we don't need oversight and help to shine some light in there, to get some light in there in these dark crevices in this cave so that these folks can find their way out. They need a handout, our parents, our siblings, our friends.
And I love that you just read Liz's book, because how amazing it is. It's like we're all bringing our diverse opinion to the table. And I think it's helping on this awakening. And you were just talking about light. And this is what I wrote this morning, Christy. Eclipses of the soul when heartbreak becomes the prism of inner light. In the vast tapestry of human existence, there exists a singular thread, one woven with both sorrow and brilliance, an experience that transcends the ordinary, an emotional crucible that alights the soul in ways both profound and mystical. It is heartbreak, that exquisite dance of shadows and luminance, where the veils of our innermost selves unfurl, revealing the esoteric beauty within.
That's beautiful. Sure.
And it's okay to be heartbroken after being defrauded. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel all the horrible feelings that are going to come to you when that day comes. But that day of reckoning will be the best day of your life, because that day you will be able to understand that you were never being yourself when you were under undue influence. And that L. Ron Hubbard put you under undue influence. And that L. Ron Hubbard is the motherfucker that is the who and the why of what you became, who you became. And you have him to blame. There's very few times in life where you can just blame it all on one person. This is one of them. Every bad thing that you did, you were aided and abetted, misinformed, misadvised, everything because of whatever in the hell that man wrote. So now will be the time for you to repudiate whatever alliance you thought you had with him, seeing that he never had a shred of best interest of yours to keep. That was a very one-sided, very toxic relationship. And it turns out that L. Ron Hubbard is not the only one that does that. You can find that relationship in every corner and crevice where a narcissist lives. So these people will call it Scientology because it was organized as a pyramid scheme of criminal acts perpetrated on children from an adult collective that has to reckon with the hardest thing anyone could possibly reckon, which is abusing animals or kids. That's unthinkable. That's almost irreconcilable. There is a point of no return. The point of light comes in when the heartbreak happens, and that heartbreak needs to happen because it's heartbreaking that this happened at the scale that it did.
I agree, Serge. And part of that breaking your own heart is sitting down and writing a police report. My heart has broken a few times having to sit down. And as I said before, separating the fact from the feelings. Of course, I still felt those feelings, but I had to look at the facts and I had to write them down. And my heart broke. Each of us, Christy and Serge and I, we have each filed our police reports. And so that's why we can sit here very comfortably and talk about these things and say, we've done our work. We put the paperwork in. Okay. We did that. And we haven't seen a change. We haven't seen law enforcement act the way that we believe that they should. And so guess what? Now we do the work of bringing the society around so that society then demands a change. And the people who are going to have egg on their faces are those people that are sitting on those documents and not doing anything. And each year is another mark against them that they sat on those things and did nothing. They are the people that history will recognize did nothing about these things. And society will come up to a level where it will be so abhorrent, it will be so intolerable that they will take action against these types of things.
100%. Mm-hmm. That's so well said.
Justice is coming.
It's coming. It's right around the corner. And the sooner you get your ethics in, the sooner this can turn around. Even in those terms, we can say it in any language that you need it said, you know.
So true.
It's time to recognize that you've been defrauded and coerced in an unthinkable way. And you know what? We understand you. We're not taking that out of the context. What Scientology did to you will always take the context out and make you the disgusting person. That's not how it works. You deserved humanity. You deserved being a human person that could live your life. You were being defrauded. You were being abused. You were being lied to. And we are completely against that. To any human, they don't deserve it. Nobody does. So the sooner we reckon that, the sooner we'll have a change in our hands going towards something intelligent and actually beneficial for society, and not just proliferating the scourge of all of these unthinkable things that are just dumb. They're just stupid.
Serge, I was just thinking when you were saying that, you were stating those facts, like you were the one that was done wrong by, not the other way around. Because I think about those people who have passed, those people who are not with us any longer, they are the people that needed to hear that. They never got told that by anyone. And that's a huge loss. That's why we want to say those things, because we want that message to reach anyone who needs to hear it, that no, you were not wrong. You were in a situation as a child that you had no choice over. You're not a degraded being. You're not a suppressive person. You're not a potential trouble source. You're not out ethics. You're not any of these labels that they've put on you your whole entire life. You deserve better.
You didn't choose to be there, but you were placed in an untenable situation that you couldn't escape from.
Yeah. And combating that shame, Christy, that you mentioned, that's really important. There's fear, but the shame is also huge. And that's what we're working on too. And we're working on that in ourselves as well. And having come out through it to a degree. And that's important too. Yeah.
I'll tell you, this process here has all of the milestones, all of the steps where you had to decide what's more important, me protecting myself and these fears of mine and whatever, or just opening up and sharing this stuff with the world in case it might help, in case it might help the next kid. And each time you do that, it gets easier and easier. And the more of us doing it, the easier it gets. It's like that weight is spread out across all of us, and you feel safe and you feel protected with community and consistency. It's so inspiring and empowering. This process that used to seem so daunting actually seems just incredibly powerful now, and I love it.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Serge. It's been absolutely amazing to have these conversations with you and to have you co-host with us in our collaborative effort. We really wanted to include our beautiful community in this, and you have been someone who has spoken on these issues so clearly and broken through that language barrier. I know for me, the language has been something that I've always struggled with, just trying to break out and understand like what the real words are for things. So you just do it so clearly, and this has been an absolute demonstration of that. A joy to have you and chat with you. So thank you.
I, of course, concur with everything she just said. I agree with all of that. And also, yeah, I think we tend to over-explain, and you've just found a way to just go laser focus. These are the words. These are all the words you need. Powerful.
Thank you guys for having me. And yeah, I couldn't be more happy to join this conversation and to hear your own polished thoughts on the subject, because I think that's what is required in processing our trauma. The more we understand that it had nothing to do with us and that we had not a shred of control. And when you understand that you didn't have any power, then you start understanding that you do have power now.
So inspiring and empowering. Absolutely incredibly powerful.
Thank you all for sharing your truth and experiences. This has been lots of great information, but a lot of details that could be really hard to digest, especially if you are a survivor of abuse as well. So please remember to check in with yourselves. For more information, support, and advice, the largest national helpline in the U.S. is RAINN. That's R-A-I-N-N. Their website is www.rainn.org. You can speak with the trained staff member via the online chat or call their free helpline, 800-656-HOPE.
That's 800-656-4673.
We're just so happy and appreciative of anyone that is listening, because this is really meant to be a part of community. And we're here all together, so we're very appreciative as you're part of our village. So thank you so much.